Your words are so special, and you've given me the privilege and the responsibility of sharing them with others. It's too great for me. I cannot do it. So, Holy Spirit, fill me, please, and touch all of us with your words, with your power, with your love. Get me out of the way. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Do please sit. Before I go on, a couple of reminders. If you've got any more poppies, first of all, thank you to all those who have made poppies. We can still put some more up for next week. Although there is the remembrance service actually at the cenotaph, we'll have communion here in the evening. And instead of being in the side chapel, communion will be here in the main body of the church. So if you've got more poppies, it's not too late to let us have them, and they can be put up there. And of course, this afternoon, everybody is invited to come back at 4 o'clock when we will have our special All Souls service, remembering those that have died, especially those who have encouraged us in our Christian lives, or encourage us in any way. We want to remember them and give thanks for them. So that's this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Have you ever had a really nice meal at home? You've had a fantastic meal and you've used loads of pans, saucepans. You started cooking in one saucepan and found it was too small, so you had to use another one. You got everything out and put it into another. So you've done two saucepans when you need only have done one. Or you've, loads of things. And then you have, you've decided to go very smart at the end. And you have your after meal coffee or tea with a cup and a saucer. So you've got more washing up to do. And you've got the crockery and you've decided to use a fork and spoon for your pudding. And so you've got more washing up. And oh my goodness me, what a wonderful meal it's been. Ah, and so you take it all out to the kitchen and you fill up the sink or the washing up bowl with hot, steamy, bubbly water. And it's all ready there for the washing up. So you put all the washing up on the side of the sink and you go away. Well, the washing up is near the sink, isn't it? It's not far from the sink. Won't that do? Anybody tried that? You know, if you leave this washing up beside the sink, does it ever get done? It being not far from isn't quite enough. I was talking to someone just this week who often walks past this church, and he's seen the door open at times and looked through. He says, it's a lovely church, but I daren't go in. I daren't go in. I don't know why. I said, because we won't bite you. You know, honestly. Come in. But he says, I daren't go in. He's not far from the inside of the church, but he's not in it. He's not in it. The teacher of the law, when he asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, right, that's it. Of course it is. That's far better than all the ritual in the world. Far better than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And that's it. And Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And I bet that teacher of the law felt good. Whoa, Jesus, a wise man. We know him as a wise man, amongst many other things. Certainly he's wise. He knew that he'd had a big compliment paid him. You are not far from the kingdom of God. A pat on the back. Whoa, off I go. Yes, Then I wonder how far he got before he began to think, not far. But not far is not near enough. When I was a boy, I saw that film, Scott of the Antarctic. Does anybody remember it? Yes, a few. It was about Captain Robert Scott, who led an expedition to, was it the South Pole or North Pole? One of the poles got there too late. He was beaten there, and depressed and downhearted, they began to come back. We know the story. We know what happened. He and the last group of men that were with him, they died in a tent. They were not far from the next food supplies. They say about 11 miles, if my memory is right. Not far from. They could have done it in a day if the weather had let up for them to go out and make that 11 miles. And they would have been safe. But not far from is not good enough. They died. They died. So hopefully the teacher of the law went back to Jesus and said, I'm not far from. Well, how do I actually get in there, take that next step? And Jesus would have probably said, well, you've told me. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then we hear that word commandment, and perhaps it sends a bit of a shiver down our spines. Oh, if we're going to be loved by God, we've got to do something to deserve that love. It sounds like it makes God's love a bit conditional. Like the person who invites us to a party and says, do come to my party, but if you want to come, you've got to dress posh and you've got to speak posh. Conditions. Conditions for coming to my party. Oh, or like there was not long ago, there was a couple who were getting married and they said, our wedding is going to be a very special day and it's costing the earth, so we invite you to our party. Please come if you give us $1,000. I think that was what it was. It was something huge, a large sum of money. Come to our wedding if you give us some money. You're invited. It's a conditional invitation. It sounds a bit like God is saying that to us, especially when we read Deuteronomy, especially if you can say it. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase gently, greatly, in a land flowing with milk and honey. It sounds like God is saying, do this, don't you dare step out of line, or I've got some handy thunderbolts here, which I will send in your direction. Keep on the line, walk the line, or get thumped. Conditional love. So is it that God's, by this commandment, he's trying to restrict us? No, he's not. He's not trying to restrict us. The commandment is not a sign of God's conditional love. How many of us here drive a car? I do. Yeah? Right, or did. Did or do drive a car? Well, most of us. Now, can you drive a car just by getting into it and sitting behind the wheel, steering wheel? No, of course you can't. The law is that you have to get the ignition key or a credit card looking thing these days, and you have to put it in the right place. And you have to turn the ignition key. I'm old fashioned. You put the clutch in if it's a manual, get it into gear, release the handbrake. You have to do these things. These are the laws. But they don't restrict us. It's how it has to be. When we follow those laws, then we have the freedom of the road, assuming it's not the M6 or A500, which always seems to be clogged up. But you know what I mean. We follow the laws and we have freedom. But it's not enough to know that's what we have to do. We can still know we've got to do all that and still sit behind the wheel and still nothing will happen unless we actually do it. So what do we have to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, surrender to God. Surrender to God. I don't know if you've ever seen, as you're traveling or just going through a park or somewhere and you see a couple, well, assume it's a boy and girl, sitting together, and she's snuggled up to him, and he's got his arm round her neck. She is in an incredibly vulnerable position like that. Have you ever thought of it? She's putting her life, literally, in the hands of the man beside her. Because if he was nasty, she's now in a position where he could strangle her or break her neck. I mean, that's not going to happen because he loves her. But it could happen. She has put herself in a vulnerable position and she's happy to do that because she trusts him. She trusts him. Do we trust God? Do we really trust God? How much am I willing to surrender to God, control of all my time? Am I willing to surrender to God control of my skills, all of them, my job? Am I willing to surrender to God every member of my family? Am I willing to surrender to God every last penny I have? Am I willing to surrender all that to God? Going back to Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's a question for us as individuals. Will I do that? Will I surrender everything to God? Love him with everything that I am and have? Oh, and it's a question for us as a church. How can we honor God like that? What can we do to honor God like that? And then the second commandment was love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now that notes, it's very important to note that Jesus said love your neighbor as yourself. That doesn't mean you say, oh, I'm weak, I'm a feeble worm, I'm not worth anything at all, oh no, woe is me, and I'm useless. No, we've sung a song, a hymn, with the words, I'm special, loved, accepted, and forgiven. I am the apple of God's eye, whether we deserve it or not. God loves us. We are so special to him. And if he says we're special, who are we to disagree with him? We may not deserve it. We don't deserve it. But he loves us. So let's remember how much God loves us and be secure in that love. Because if we know how much we are loved, we are then able to love others. It's like if we're going along by a river and it's in flood. It's an absolute raging torrent. And we see someone quite near to the bank, but out of reach. Out of reach. And we want to rescue them. What could we do? Well, we could jump into the water and probably be drowned as well. Or from our position of security, we could reach out and pull that person in, either with a life belt, if it's hanging about, or with a long stick or something. We are secure. Secure in God's love, we can reach out to someone else. So we love our neighbor. I received something this week which said, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor who doesn't look like you, who doesn't think like you, who doesn't love like you, who doesn't speak like you, who doesn't pray like you, who doesn't vote like you. Love your neighbor, no exceptions. Just imagine what life would look like here in Chesterton if we lived like this. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We are called upon to be good news. If we lived like this, what fantastic good news that would be. We can't expect those who have nothing to do with church to live like this. They haven't got that encouragement. We have got to show the way. We have got to show the way. Fat chance. How on earth can we possibly do that? That's asking far too much. It's going to drain us completely. Well, if we would do it in our own strength, yes, it would. But some of us here, maybe many of us, have given blood in the past. Or do even now. And we go along and they take blood out of us. I don't know how much it is these days, but the old thing used to be you have 8 pints of blood and you give 1 pint. So we've given a pint. Does that mean we have to live the rest of our lives with 7 pints? No. Somehow or other, that the body replenishes that pint that we've given away. And in a few months' time, we're able again to give blood. Give love to those around us. How? By asking God every day to fill us with his Holy Spirit of love. As he fills us, so his love will flow out of us, as Jesus said. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let that person come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from that person." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So as we're filled with the Holy Spirit of love, so we can love others. And we will be the good news that we talk about. And I'd like us, at the end of the service, to pick up one of these pieces of paper. It's got "Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself." And it's got a commitment for each one of us. And I'd like us to take it and not, you don't have to show it to anybody, but sign it. And really, by God's grace, live out these commandments this week. And then we live in true freedom. May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love towards us, which is way beyond all we can measure. And we pray that by the Holy Spirit of love working in us, we will love others, and we will love you as we are meant to. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.